Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello and welcome to the Movie Podcast. My name is Shabazz, and joining alongside me, someone who would also enlist alongside me is
Daniel.
Daniel, how are you doing today?
Knock, knock, knock. It is time to get the heck off this planet, buddy. Let me tell you.
Is that the motto?
That's the motto.
Humane motto?
That's the way I'm politely going to say, yeah, it's time to, you know, just quietly just get me out of here.
Time to get out of here.
I'm gonna cut and run.
Definitely that time of the year, I would say. No.
The time of the year. It's springtime. It's the season of life.
Hold on. I know, and it's so sunny outside right now, beautiful. Too. It's probably really warm.
Yeah.
I know.
Are your allergies attacking you, by the way?
Not yet.
Oh, that's
Does
good.
It sound like they are?
No, I'm just curious, because usually around this time of year, you and Anthony just join these interviews. And stuff. They're like, hey guys, I can't talk right now. I'm gonna talk like this. They're like, oh, what the heck?
We do our old man voice, and you're was like, why are you doing that voice? You know what, man? Knock on wood, and I have actual wood in front of me right
good.
Now.
You always should.
Always carry a piece of wood with you. No allergies yet, but if my spidey senses are tingling, I don't feel it's too far off.
Okay, well, I'm hoping for you, for your sake and for Anthony's sake, that it stays away as long as possible.
I mean, for Anthony's sake, I hope it just cripples
him. I hope Anthony takes
just
the really brunt of it all,
him.
And then he takes it, and then you're free.
Yeah. He's just crying every day, like, what is going on?
I want to breathe!
I'm double the allergies!
Please. This is awful.
Oh man, awful. But he doesn't listen to this, so he will never know.
It's very true. He does not. So we can say whatever we want about him here.
Absolutely. Hey, Daniel, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. You know, we are coming off of a very busy April. I feel like I blinked. You know, I had a birthday and I blinked and now it's May. You know what I mean? Like, it's like May is next week already, and it's tripping me out how fast April has gone by. It's been very busy for us. You know, we are in Vegas. We are covering carpets. We're doing interviews and reviews and all this fun stuff, and we love doing it, but sometimes you just kind of like blink and you're like, oh my god, the another month is gone.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Like, I didn't realize, I'm like, oh my god, we're at the end of April already, and so many of these things we had the opportunity to do in the beginning of April, and now, man, we rushed here, like you said, we're at the end. But we're having a really awesome episode today, because we're talking to some really, really cool people. I'd say a solid 75% of this interview are people we've already spoken to before, which is always a pleasure.
Yeah.
Always a pleasure to have them come back. And then, you know, we have a new voice and face joining us as well. Someone that you and I both had an opportunity to chat with, and then also you got to chat with them solo on the red carpet for the premiere of this movie that I'm still not naming.
We're just keeping everybody in suspense, like they will feel watching the movie we're about to talk about.
Oh man, the movie that we're talking about is Humane, and it will be in theaters and on demand on April 26th, directed by the lovely Caitlin Cronenberg, who we have on the show today, and starring Jay Baruchel and Emily Hampshire, both funny and friendly faces that we've had on our show before, and welcoming them back was such a joy.
Yeah, it's awesome, like being able to talk to talent that we had before. It's great that Jay remembered us from last year for Blackberry, obviously a movie that we really championed last year. So to have Jay back and to talk to him in person, to talk to Emily in person for the first time, and, you know, obviously talking to Caitlin again. So we had our virtual interview, and then we'll have our red carpet interview after this. It's great, just, you know, her recognizing us right away. Again, not that we look like different people over Zoom, but like, it's different when you see somebody. You're like, oh, I just spoke to you yesterday. I'm glad I get to talk to you and continue this conversation today.
Yeah, and they speak to so many people, so sometimes you can just fall through the cracks, but I think we leave a bit of a memorable impression on these folks.
Yeah, I mean they're all Canadian, which is great, so it's like, it's great to celebrate Canadian talent. We got to, you know, do these red carpet interviews on National Canada Film Day as well, too, which is awesome. So just great to celebrate Canadian talent.
Absolutely. And speaking of great Canadian talent, do want to thank our friends over at Elevation Pictures for allowing us this amazing opportunity to interview Caitlin virtually and also go on the red carpet and talk to these lovely, lovely people. And also to get to watch Humane, a movie that, you know, you and I had a really great time watching because of how absolutely terrifying the plot of this film is. If you're familiar with any of the Cronenberg family films, this falls directly in line with that. So if you've loved what Brandon's done, you've loved what David's done, you are going to love what Caitlin has brought to the family ensemble here, I'd say.
Man, I just want to know what's dinner conversations like in their house? You know, like,
I actually don't want to know.
You don't want to know. You know, that's a question for next time.
I'm afraid to know.
That's a question for next time we speak to a member of the Cronenberg family.
Yeah.
We could ask, like, guys, like, what's dinner conversations like for you guys? Because, like, you guys scare us. Like, I mean, like, the movies you make are scary. You are all lovely people. You know, we have not had the pleasure of speaking with David Cronenberg yet, you know, Papa Cronenberg yet on this show. But Brandon last year, Caitlin this year, hopefully for whatever David does next, we'll get to talk to him because he obviously has directed some of like our favorite films of all time. And an embarrassment of riches of talent in that family. And even seeing what other things Caitlin has worked on, right? And, you know, we spoke very briefly in our interview about Steve Martin. She shot the iconic, you know, CN Tower shot for Drake's album cover Views back in 2016. Yeah. So she's been part of, obviously, this world for a long time. And it's been really cool to see, you know, her come into her own as a director and, you know, get to see, you know, maybe what comes next for her. And obviously just calling on her friends, too, from Canada, Jay and Emily, to star in a film that she's directing. It's awesome.
Absolutely. What a joy it was. And I'm so glad that we had the opportunity to talk to all of these lovely, lovely people. So without further ado, I want to kick it over to that lovely interview that we had with Caitlin Cronenberg. Then our red carpet interviews with Caitlin Cronenberg once again, Jay Baruchel, and of course, Emily Hampshire.
Caitlin, how's it going?
Oh, great. How are you?
We are doing so well. My name's Daniel.
My name's Shabazz.
We're just so grateful for you sharing your time with us on the movie podcast today. We haven't stopped thinking about Humane since we watched it. So just congratulations on it finally coming out into the world.
It's thrilling. Thank you very much.
We had a chance to talk to Brandon last year. So we're kind of just going down the Cronenberg line.
Horton, you saved the best for last, obviously.
Yeah, of course. And then maybe if we're lucky, we'll get King or Puppy one day too, if they're available. So
I stayed tomorrow. I think it's a little pets. He's a superstar.
That's good. Hopefully we'll get to meet him on the red carpet tomorrow.
Now, Humane is your directorial feature debut, and you're working from a script by Michael Spiraga. Where did Humane begin for you?
Humane began for me with an email from Michael that said, "Have you ever thought about directing features? Here's a feature that I made. I think you'd be great." And that was the beginning of the end. No, joke, sorry. The beginning of the beginning. That was late 2019. I was about a million months pregnant. We had no idea that the pandemic was just around the corner. And I read it. I couldn't get it out of my head. I spoke to Michael, you know, at great length about the script and kind of we worked together to sort of tonally shift it into a place that felt more like the kind of film that I wanted to make, which Michael was really, really happy and excited about. He's an incredible collaborator, which is incredibly lucky for me, too. And the rest is history, as they say.
It's so fascinating too to see the transition from, you know, being a visual artist and a photographer and going into the world of directing. And, you know, something that we kept saying while we were watching the film was just how gorgeous it was. Even like we're thinking the shots of like the mackerel being cut and I'm like, oh my God, that looks like, let me hang that on my wall.
I wasn't sure if I was hungry after that.
Yeah.
Not.
It's completely gorgeous. And obviously you're working with Douglas Coke, who's fellow Canadian, worked with your dad on Pride of the Future, which is another film that we loved. So how did your background in the world of photography and visual arts really help inform the look of Humane for you?
It really led me to Doug to geek out about lighting with him. And we spoke for weeks at length before we even started prep on the film about how we wanted to design the lighting of this film. Doug is, he's so experienced. He's so brilliant. He can do anything. You know, he does gorgeous films. He does commercial work. He does everything in between. So for him, showing him references of things that speak to me he knows exactly what he's doing, and he comes to me with suggestions. I went back to him with suggestions, and we did really spend a lot of time with the visual language of the film, and especially the lighting in the earlier half of the film versus the latter half of the film, and the transitional sunset moment, which is where it all happens.
Did you find it a difficult being really in a different role this time around, where you're like, okay, I'm not really in control of the camera side as much? Did you find it like, oh, okay, I'm flexing different muscles, or did it feel all of the same for you?
I love it. You know what? When you are a photographer, you have to carry so much gear. And if for nothing else, like, that's why I'm doing this job now, because I spent so many years carrying so much gear around. No, but, you know, I am so used to being one who presses the button and captures the image. Everybody comes together at a photo shoot to prepare you for this moment, and then I'm responsible for capturing the image. It was difficult at times to remind myself that whatever plays out now, I actually can't control it in any way. I am here to prepare, to speak to everybody, to express what I want my vision to be. And then I literally step back, and I would have moments of nerves where I'm like, oh my God, the camera has to do this and the people have to do this. And I was like, oh wait, I don't have to do anything. I just sit here and watch and enjoy. And that's a really unique feeling. And it's also very hard for someone who spent so much time being physically responsible for the outcome. But it's also very freeing in a way, because you really do just get to watch and learn and enjoy.
You had this amazing opportunity to also shoot in Hamilton, and you have the all-star Canadian cast in this film. How important was the Canadian representation when going through the entire process?
There's nothing better than shooting at home. I know that was also a big selling point for some of the cast, because shooting at home is essentially a gift. And the idea that this group of talented Canadians can come together and make a Canadian film that just feels like a fantastic wild ride. It's just, you know, I've always felt good about working at home in the Canadian film industry in general, and knowing from being on so many sets, the kind of talent that we have here, it's unmatched anywhere else in the world. Our actors, our crews, our locations, we have it all. So why look anywhere else? I mean, not to say that I would never make a film somewhere else, but there is something very special about being able to share your first experience with fellow Canadians and also people I've known for a long time and love and respect.
Even like down like to some of the music in the film, like you're opening the film with Trooper, and like you're getting a lot of like the CanCon in there too, which is awesome to hear and to see. And just seeing like the work that you've done outside of this film with Canadians, and like just going through your list, I'm like, oh, you're shooting this and you're shooting this. And obviously something you just posted recently about like shooting with Steve Martin, which is incredible, which we could have a whole conversation on that. But we really wanted to ask you, but I know. we spoke to Morgan Neville about that doc, and we just geeked out about Steve Martin forever with him. But something that we loved so much too is that you shot the album cover for Drake's Views, which was probably one of the most iconic album covers in the last, like,
put his town on the map, you know,
right? Really put CN Tower on the map for a lot of people. What do you remember about collaborating with him to find the look of that album cover?
I remember every single thing. It was a life-changing phone call, I'll tell you that much, from his team. I had a three-month-old baby. Got in April, the storm. Basically, anything that could be stacked against us in terms of just natural disasters, not actually, but a snowstorm, car battery dying, people getting migraines, people dropping off the crew. It was an experience. It was an experience. It's one of those experiences that you say, I can do anything now. Truly. His team were the ones who came up with the idea for that shot. My team figured out how to execute it. And I had no idea how viral that would go. How could you work for a decade and nothing ever goes viral? Because, you know, when I started working as a photographer, there was no Instagram, there was no social media. So this idea that something could blow up in such a major way was completely new to me. It was Passover, I think. I was like sitting at my Seder and like my phone was exploding because the picture came out and I had no idea it was going to come out that day. It's very memorable as well. But I do remember every single thing about every single moment of that shoot.
I love that. That's amazing. Now, one of the things that we loved so much about Humane was that after watching it, it really gets you thinking, and you have so many questions after watching it. What are some questions that you're hoping audiences will be asking after watching Humane?
Ultimately, my goal is for people to enjoy the film and have fun. You know, I think a fun conversation topic was, what would you do if you were in this situation? Could you stab your sibling? Do you think you could actually do that?
No.
I mean,
I'll stab you.
Oh, I'll stab you. Yeah.
But, you know, this is, I think that so much of it has to do with morality and personal ethics and what is right and what is wrong and what you would do if you were faced with a situation like that. I couldn't stab my brother. I know that for a fact. So, you know, I would be dead, I guess. But I would sooner sacrifice myself. You can tell him that I said that. But I think that I hope that it asks the questions of what would you do if you were in this situation, and how would you react? Because, you know, there isn't really I'll put myself in those shoes, the environmental collapse, I'm being asked to, you know, to kill myself. But it, funnily enough, when the trailer came out, it hit TikTok in a way that I really could never have anticipated. And all of these TikTok people, and I'm not on TikTok and I don't understand it because I'm old, they're saying stuff like, oh, I would volunteer for sure. Oh, only 20%? You would hit that in the first day. And it's all of these, I don't know, is it millennials, whatever, are saying like, oh, I would fully die, 100%. Why do people even bring kids into the world anymore? And that was really interesting and shocking to me because I really did not expect that. But it is like every single comment, 800,000 comments on our trailer about how all of these people would fully volunteer. And I think that's an interesting conversation that nobody's having that we maybe need to. I mean, just check in on your millennials and make sure they're okay.
Yeah, that's so fascinating. And I'm so excited to see the reaction once the film finally is out. Caitlin, we're so grateful for your time. We cannot wait to see how everyone reacts once they finally watch this. And I hope that we get to talk to you again.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, 100% you will.
Thank you so much.
See you.
Bye.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you again. We spoke to you last
year.
Yeah, it was so much fun. Congratulations on this release of the film on Canadian National Film Day, which is pretty awesome. Yeah. So you're absolutely amazing in this film. You're such an asshole in the movie, which is so good. We loved it. Gotta start off by saying first, what was the best part about working with Caitlin, like on her future directorial debut?
Yeah, just getting to be there watching a friend of mine do something really cool, and getting to be a part of it made it even cooler. And she built and fostered a space where we all felt free to kind of find this movie and make it as good as we can. So exhilarating and proud.
That's awesome. And speaking of great Canadian films, we just had a chance to speak with Sean William Scott, and he talked a lot about how much he loved making Goon with you. Any chances you want to step back in to maybe do a Goon 3?
Yeah, I'll just say this. Sean and Michael Dowse, who directed the first one, and me, and like we all want to do it. Other people want to help us do it. There's like a lot of moving parts with intellectual property and who owns what and all that, but just know that if it hasn't happened yet, it's not for lack of trying. And I can tell you right now that like there are whole seasons of a potential series broken.
Wow.
There's an outline for a third movie. There's a roughed in outline for a fourth movie. We have come up with so much shit, all of us, and it's something we all are desperate to do. So if certain things can get sorted out and ironed out that are outside of my pay grade, then we would all absolutely in a heartbeat come back.
That is so exciting.
Cool.
On the topic of hockey, we know you're a Canadiens fan. What do you think the Leafs' chances are, though, this year in the playoffs?
That's pretty bad. I think piss poor. I think when I saw who they're getting in the first round, I literally laughed out loud in the bathroom this morning as I was brushing my teeth. So, you know, that'll be a good game 7, I suspect.
Thank you so much,
Ailes. Thank you.
Congrats on the movie, and we can't wait to watch it again with
you. Thank you so much for having me, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right.
Hi. Hi, how's it going? I'm going to hand that to you.
Thank you.
You look great.
Oh, thank you.
How is the world premiere going for Humane?
Seems to be going pretty great.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I didn't know it was Canadian Film Day, so it's like perfect.
Of all days, right?
Yeah.
Let's start right there. You're working in Canada. You're part of a Canadian film. You have an incredible cast of Canadians in this film. What do you love most about working in Canada and making films here?
Honestly, I think it is kind of just what you said. We're a really a smaller community, and I've worked with Jay a million times. We're old friends. When I read this script, I was like, Jay needs to be my brother in this, and I texted him, and he said yes. And so it's that, or even the girl who plays my daughter, Serena, in the movie. Yeah. I just worked with her before, and I was like, she'd be perfect for this. So it's that community of like working with people again. You get this shorthand, and it's like family that you don't necessarily want to kill, but love pretending to.
Yeah, and I mean, things get pretty intense for the family in this film.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think you would fare in a situation like that in real life?
I think I'd do really well.
You think you'd be able to choose no problem, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was thinking like, will I survive? But yeah. I forgot about the choice part. Yeah, I mean, it seemed like an obvious choice to me at the time. I think I'd be able to choose.
I love that.
Yeah.
Now, Caitlin, fantastic director. Oh. This is her feature debut.
Yeah.
What was it like working with her, figuring out who your character was going to be in this?
It was just everything you want it to be. What was so great about her as a first-time director was she didn't pretend she wasn't. And so she asked questions and asked how I like to work. And we already knew each other, so there was this, like, comfortability. I saw she had these nails. Caitlin did these, like, black nails. And I'm like, I need those to play Rachel, and we're done.
I love that.
So.
Made a part of your character.
Yeah.
Now, as it is National Canadian Film Day, just want to ask you before we wrap up, if you could choose one Canadian film to recommend to people to watch, what would you choose?
So, I feel weird about saying this, but it's the truth.
Okay.
Because it's a movie that I'm in and Jay's in. There's a movie called The Trotsky.
Yep.
That we made decades ago. And I think it's an amazing Canadian film. I think it holds up today. I think everybody in high school should see it. That one.
Love it. Emily, thank you so much
thank
for your time.
You so much.
All the best tonight.
I am still good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm still doing it.
In a bit of a whirlwind with the premiere.
It's a little different.
A
little different than a virtual press day, but
a little different. Yeah, but it's great. You look great.
Thank you.
Great outfit.
Thank you.
Well, gotta ask, I mean, this is your first world premiere. What's
sure
going through your mind right now?
I'm like, oh, I want to hug all those people because I can see my like friends and family showing up. And I think that's good for me to focus on because otherwise I'd be really, really nervous. But ultimately, this is the softest landing for this film. It's a room full of people we love, who love us, who can't wait to see the film, and we can't wait to share it with them.
What are you excited most for an audience, like a big audience, to see this now in a room, your loved ones?
I'm really just excited for them to see also how far it's come.
Yeah.
You know, so many of them saw a test screening or an early cut, and that was before sound design, before color, and it looks beautiful, and it sounds so rich, and I think that as a whole piece, it's going to really impress people in a way that even if they've seen it earlier, all of these magic makers came in after we cut it and did this incredible job on post, and I'm so excited. I haven't seen it on a big screen since post.
It's going to play amazing.
I know, I can't wait.
It's going to be great. No, it's National Canadian Film Day.
Indeed.
Of all days to premiere the film, it's congrats on having this day.
My pleasure. Thank you.
What's it mean to you to be a Canadian filmmaker, to have so many Canadians part of this cast, to shoot here? What's that mean to you, to be part of that lineage?
I mean, it truly means everything to me. You know, my dad is a Canadian filmmaker who stayed living in Canada. There was pressure to move to the U.S. and sort of join that world. And he wanted to stay in Canada and make Canadian films. So as a result, I got to grow up here and witness the world of Canadian film, which I'm now so proud to be part of. But, you know, there's something so unique about Canadians and how we work together. We're here to support each other in a way that is so beautiful. We, you know, I think we lack a certain amount of ego, and we just want to lift each other up. And that's how I felt with my crew and my cast. It was just a love fest of people who wanted to lift each other up. I don't know that all film experiences are like that, but mine was, and so I just assume they all are.
We love that. And, you know, as we said, you know, this is your first debut feature film. Do you have anything else on the horizon that you're hoping to dive into directing side, or what's next for you?
I'm launching a new company in a couple of weeks, which will be a whole other story, but I have a lot of irons in the fire. I'm really looking forward to seeing what sparks next.
Yeah.
Obviously, things take a lot of time to come to the surface and develop, but I think there will be a lot.
Yeah.
There will be a lot of fun to be had in the future, I hope, if I'm lucky enough, you know?
Of course, and really quickly, before we wrap up, you know, as it is National Canadian Film Day, if you could choose any other Canadian film that you recommend people check out, what would you recommend to them?
That's a good one.
You could choose a family film, too.
I'm going to say Infinity Pool.
Love it.
What a great film.
That's
fabulous,
great
director. So well written.
I love it. Kaylin, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Great to see you again.
Great to see you, too. Yeah.